This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Joining us now is the CEO of Sydney FC, Danny Townsend. Danny, a big congratulations on taking out the A-League title, and thank you so much for joining us on Evenings on FNR.
Yeah, thanks, Louise. It was definitely a pretty fun night on Sunday night in Perth.
Yeah, Danny, take us a little bit behind the scenes. You know, how are the celebrations? I understand the squad would have, did they do a bit of a Mad Monday yesterday, dress up and so forth?
No, not really. We've got our game, the Champions League game tonight against Kawasaki, so that was always sort of playing in the back of our minds that the boys still had one more game to go to finish the season off. But obviously that's always challenging when you've had such a fantastic result Sunday night, and you really do want the guys to celebrate what is a momentous occasion for us all. So, yeah, look, we had a post-game party, which obviously was cut a bit short just given the game went into extra time and penalties, so our time in the venue was limited, and we kicked on after that. And then when we flew back yesterday, got back into the Star 3 hours late because our flight was delayed, we had a fan reception there and a private party again for some of our closer friends and family. So, yeah, we had a bit of celebrating, but not as crazy as you might think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's a bit of weird timing with this last ACL fixture, but, you know, obviously a fantastic achievement for the club. Just one season after, you know, your head coach left to become the Socceroos boss, you lost Mirzayevsky and Bobo, two marquee players to overseas teams. It must have been a big rethink in the off season to work out how this whole thing was going to carry on forward and keep being successful.
Yeah, look, obviously losing Graham was always going to be difficult, but we had a lot of confidence in Steve's ability as a coach and a club man to continue the work that Graham and Steve had done together, and I think that's been proven to be the right call. Equally, you know, the guys, I think that the key to any good A-League team is they're Australians, and if you look across our team, we've got a bunch of winners, whether it be Michael Zulu or Ryan Grant, Alex Wilkinson. These guys are, you know, winners year after year. And when you build a foundation of a squad around people like that, sprinkling a couple of internationals on top, you get the job done, and we've proven that.
And Danny, did you expect Steve Corica would take out the title in his inaugural season as the Sky Blues head coach?
Look, I think as a club, we always go into every season expecting to win, irrespective of who's at the helm. You know, the club is more about, you know, the one person. And I think, again, we've proven that this year with, you know, moving Steve into his role and him shuffling a few other deck chairs around, obviously with Phil Moss leaving as well. That was another role we had to fill in the coaching staff, Andrew Clark. So it wasn't just Graham. There was plenty of other people that moved on. But what that meant was that we were able to bring people in and probably most importantly, promote people. You know, I think a mature club like ours should be able to promote within, and that's what we did with Steve, and it paid off.
And it's been an interesting season, of course, with the venues as well. You know, Sydney being forced to go on a bit of a travelling roadshow, but it seems as if Leichhardt and Cogger were actually really big hits with your fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the feedback we've had from our fans has been great. You know, it helps when you're performing well on the field. I think the Wanderers were sort of stuck with, you know, the double negative of being out of their home ground and also not performing all that well. We've been fortunate to be playing well on the pitch, which means your fans are probably more likely to come anywhere. But I think those two venues have definitely proven to be successful from a fan experience perspective and something to build on over the next 2 years while we remain displaced from Allianz.
What was your heart rate like during the penalty shootout, Danny?
I think I said to someone I aged about 10 years in that 15 minutes. But look, it was interesting. You know, I'm a fairly superstitious, nervous type person in going into most A-League games, but the last two games, it's been a bit of a weird feeling. And Scott Barlow, the chairman, and I both felt the same thing. We're very confident going into the game against the Victory and weren't that nervous. And the result was obviously a fantastic one. And going into the grand final, I think the same, had a very similar feeling. And although when we went to penalties, I've got to say, yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking stuff. But obviously confidence in Redders. He's had a fantastic season and he proved the difference in the end.
Yeah, I did love his dancing on the line. It was excellent stuff. A bit of sort of Bruce Grobbelaar-esque. But that's your third title, I believe, one on penalties. You've got starting to get a bit of a, you know, Germany national team type reputation from the spot.
Yeah, we have lost one. So going into this one, we were 2-1. So yeah, to go 3-1, I suppose, puts a little bit of a gap on the positives and the negatives. But look, I don't think any of us want to win these big games in penalties. And I think, you know, notwithstanding the decision in the first half around the goal or the disallowed goal, we would like to have won it in 90 minutes. But, you know, it adds to the spectacle, and for those at home on the couch and in the stands, it adds a different dynamic. So.
And, Danny, it's pretty fitting for Alex Bross to end his career that way. How do you sum up his legacy?
Oh, look, there'll be never another player like Broski at this football club. You know, if you look at all of the accolades he's had, you know, the most appearances, most goals, most Champions League appearances, most Champions League goals, you name it, his name's at the top of every list. And I think that's going to be very difficult for anyone to surpass. So, you know, he's not only, I think it's been said a million times, he's not only a great player, but he's a great person. He's a great leader around the club. He's great with our corporate partners. He's great with our members. You know, there's not a thing that he does that he doesn't do in the capacity as club captain. And you know, he's going to be a huge loss. But, you know, all of those great things he does off the field will continue in some capacity, and we'll work that out over the next couple of weeks.
And speaking of Broski, what did you make of his comments today, you know, about the A-League final series, suggesting it's maybe time to scrap it or change how the champions are determined? I think, you know, quite powerful coming from someone who's actually benefited from it this year. And, you know, you guys experienced the same or similar thing last season, you know, having a dominant regular season but losing in the semi-finals. And now for Perth, you must be empathising with them a little bit that it's a sickener to go out like that.
Yeah, I think that was probably the context he answered that question in as it relates to final series. I think everyone can see what they bring to our league. You know, the crowds and the atmosphere at those final series matches are definitely a major difference to the regular season. So I think if he was talking in the context of the experience, I'm sure he would advocate continuing. But I think he's referencing the fact that for Perth, they were feeling pretty hollow yesterday, having had such a great season. And as you say, we could sympathise with them, given we had that same feeling this time last year. But I think in the main, you know, the way the final series is, our club at least have views around the way that could be structured better in order to give the top two teams actually a second chance if they do stumble. But look, that can all be addressed down the track, particularly with expansion coming in. There's opportunities to address these things.
So would that maybe be structured a little bit like it used to be with the top two teams playing and maybe a second chance for the loser in the top bracket? Or, you know, do you have a specific plan that you'd like to promote and suggest to FFA?
Yeah, look, I think that one you referenced is a good one. You know, I experienced it in the NSL, you know, having won a premiership and then going on and losing a grand final. We lost that grand final to South Melbourne, having had a second bite of the cherry. And I think we, you know, having gone through that myself, I did not feel a sense of injustice losing to South Melbourne in that grand final because we'd had two chances. So I think something along those lines would make a lot more sense.
And I do have to ask you, Danny, I know it's, you know, slightly less of a storyline given that you eventually won on penalties, but that VAR sort of non-decision in the first half obviously drew a lot of controversy. It looked like Michael Zullo was onside, but they didn't overturn the assistant's decision. What's been your experience with VAR in general as CEO of Sydney? What's your opinion on it?
Yeah, look, I know it's tough continuing to have to defend it, to be honest. I've always been an advocate for it, but it does seem to continue to rear its head in an ugly fashion more often than not. And I think the other night was another example. Although I think in that case it was probably the assistant referee who flagged, who probably shouldn't have flagged, and I think the FFA have acknowledged that you know, it was probably too close for the AR to make that call, because if you can't separate it in a slow motion replay, then it's obviously a bit of a leap of faith for the AR to call it and flag it in real time. So, you know, I think in this day and age, the ARs should be leaving their flags down if there's any doubt. And then the video referee has to determine that it was offside rather than the opposite, which is what happened on Sunday night.
And Danny, what's been the highlight for you this season?
I think there's been many highlights, but I think really seeing Steve and the guys just knuckle down and get on with what we do best at Sydney FC, just, you know, the ruthlessness around all aspects of what we do, the attention to detail, you know, that is something that we've been working on for many years. And to see that transition into what is, you know, a new group of coaching staff and, you know, and the usual turnover of some players, and to see them continue on in that fashion was really pleasing. And equally, I think the way our fans have stuck with us through the period of dislocation, you know, it's not easy for some of our fans who are spread all over Sydney to get to Cogger or to get to Leichhardt. and they keep turning up in numbers and in Sky Blue, and I think that was also something that was really, really pleasing for me as a CEO.
And I do also have to ask you, Danny, about the situation at the semi-final, you know, off the field. Obviously, Rory Carroll, his story has been, you know, well covered in the media. Is there investigations and so forth ongoing behind the scenes with Sydney and with FFA to determine, you know, what went on there?
Yeah, look, we always support our supporters in those type of instances. If there is evidence to suggest they haven't been behaving the right way, then we'll obviously go down the right path. But in this case, I think there was a fair bit of grey area. And you know, it's just not, it's one isolated incident. And I think in our game, there's way too many of these incidents happening where security and law enforcement are colliding with our fans on a regular basis in a negative way. And we've got to change that. And that's only going to happen by some real positive collaboration between fan groups, the clubs, the stadium operators and the police. So, yeah, we'll be working on that in the off-season. I know Greg O'Rourke's already got meetings and diaries with commissioners and things like that to try and start to get some parity on how football fans are treated in comparison to AFL and rugby league.
Absolutely. That's good to hear, Danny. And, you know, we here at FNR are really hoping that some progress can be made in how football fans are treated by law enforcement and by stadium security as well. And, you know, maybe the clubs will have an increased role in those negotiations with A-League independence potentially on the horizon.
Yeah, look, that's definitely something that will be addressed. You know, I think operationally the FFA continuing to go down that path, you know, irrespective of what happens as a result of the new league working group. But, you know, I think, you know, we should be talking about the great achievements of the players on the field and the coaches. You know, our clubs won an A-League, a W-League, an E-League and a power chair league all in the one season, which I don't think anyone's ever done before. So, you know, we should be talking about that and all those great people who have put in a huge amount of work across those teams and not off-field incidents. But, you know, that's all to be solved in the future. But we're committed to doing that.
And, Danny, now that the season is done and dusted, what's on the agenda for you? Are you going to take a long sabbatical?
I wish. No, I think I said to Stevie yesterday, today's the first day of the off-season, so or the first day of the new pre-season, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But you know, we're busily trying to continue to build our squad and build on the success we've had. You know, we're not a club that rests on its laurels. And I think for me as a CEO, the next probably 6 weeks are going to be really busy in working with Steve and Terry McFlynn to bring in the best players and equally retain the ones that have helped us do what we've done this year. But my downtime will typically come probably around September when all that recruitment's over and the boys are coming back into pre-season. So, yeah, there's no real feed up in the short term, unfortunately.
Well, Danny, congratulations on a fantastic season across the whole club, as you mentioned, you know, the W League team as well, getting that finals glory. One more game tonight, of course, in the Asian Champions League. Best of luck for that. And thank you so much for joining us here on FNR.
Yeah, thanks, Lou. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you having me on.